Harvick's able to clear the one of Jamie McMurray, and a caution comes out. He'll be back on the lead lap.
Join us as we break down the latest news stories and race events from the three biggest divisions in motorsports.
Into the wall, then into the two. The two goes around. The car's going to come out.
The Gander Outdoor Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. Will Joey Logano repeat?
A drag race, they're sideways, and it's going to be Logano getting the win.
Or will someone else take claim on being the next champion? It's time for the Three Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. And now, here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
The Three Wide NASCAR Podcast returns on the airwaves once again. Eddie Greer III here with you guys for the Three Wide NASCAR Podcast, EG3. Welcome back into the podcast where we're all about the latest in the world of motorsports. Gander Outdoor Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports. Before we dive in to our bonus episode here this week with our returning special guest, remember the Three Wide NASCAR Podcast, all about, the Three Wide NASCAR Podcast. You can find that wherever major podcast thing stations are found. Obviously, we have our giveaway involved in that. 50 five-star ratings, 10 reviews, and of course, you find me on Twitter at EG3_FastEddie for the Twitter on social media as well. But again, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Audioboom, Stitcher, and more. Of course, once again, please tell your friends about the Three Wide NASCAR Podcast. You do not want to miss an exciting moment as we are getting down to business here. Six races to go for the Cup Boys until the postseason, and it's really quickly. This is the last race weekend in July before the calendar turns August. Where has 2019 gone already? Big D joins me here in the studios after recording this bonus interview on July 23rd at the top of the hour. Did I mention returning guests on the show? Yeah, I did. So here in about 10 minutes, we're going to be joined by none other than our friend from up north in the Pocono Mountains, Zach Sternolo. And I know I butchered his last name. He's going to have to say it again. But of course, you can find him at Zach Stir on Twitter. And why he's on here? Because obviously, we will talk Pocono. And of course, we'll bounce from last week as well. As we got the Truck Series in the Cup Series, going at it in the Pocono Mountains this weekend, and of course Xfinity in the cornfields of Iowa. So we will focus more towards of that, and of course why, because the playoff situations in both of these series are heating up. And I mentioned the post-race episode earlier this week. Yeah, things are getting very interesting by the week, and we could have some big names looking in the outside in when the checkered flag falls in the regular season finale. I gotta tell you, folks, obviously the Cup bubble continues to change here, and I would not be surprised if we see another change of guard down there in the bubble. Obviously, Eric Jones, red hot going into this weekend. Jimmy Johnson needs to find something, anything, after a good couple of weeks, and then it's like the inconsistency is still there for that 48. The rising of the sixth car of Ryan Newman continues to shine. So there is a lot of things going on right now. Obviously, the Truck Series, obviously, got big names below the cut line. And this is a great track right here that produces some pretty much unpredictable finishes if the cautions don't fall. Obviously, cautions will fall. You know that from last week at New Hampshire, that changed the game. Obviously, Kevin Harvick holding off Denny Hamlin, and of course, Denny Hamlin trying to put the bump and run on him could not do that as well. So, we'll definitely get Zach's thoughts on that, of course. And I believe we're going to get confirmation. I have in my notes he asked Kyle Busch about the package. That's one of my first questions on here right now. And of course, yeah, we had him on the show both times last year for pretty much the whole show. And but obviously, I've been interviewing young ladies and men over the last few weeks, and this is not going to be an hour-long episode, so I want to get that out right now. And we are very fortunate to have him on the Three Wide NASCAR podcast because of his crazy schedule this week. So glad we could squeeze in a half hour with him once he joins here on the Three Wide NASCAR podcast. I mentioned we ran out of time on the post-race pod, which is going to be up on Wednesday. If you have not checked it out, I encourage you to download the Three Wide NASCAR podcast. Tell your friends. Leave us a 5-star rating and review if you would like. But again, the giveaway is still live, and it's still live. I'm being dead serious. People think I'm joking around. I am not. The giveaway, if this is the first giveaway I'm going to give, and this might be a playoff thing here, but we're leaving it what it is. I am challenging you, true listeners of the 3Wide NASCAR podcast, EG3ers out there, y'all know what it is. Please retweet it when I post it. Share it. Tell your friends. Tell anyone about the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. We've been getting a lot of strong following through multiple sections of the U.S. and including the outside the U.S. as well. So definitely please join the 3Wide movement here. And speaking of which, here real quick before I get to my little rant off the track here, some special shout outs here real quick. And this is a different shout out than normal. Obviously, the 3Wide, you know, you do not want to get yourself in a 3Wide situation. Going back a couple weeks ago, Harrison Burton, thank you for the shout out. Also, last week, Parker Clickerman, thank you for the shout out as well. And also, I caught up on the recent episodes of Door Bumper Clear, folks. Big D. Tim Fidua, thank you for the shout out as well. So, 3Wide, I'm going to start doing that throughout the rest of the 2019 season. 3Wide, you do not want to put yourself there. Or if you mention it, you're going to get a shout out from EG3 for the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. All right, real quickly here, just a few minutes away from our special guest from the front stretch. And oh, by the way, Zach just got this new gig, so we'll get more inside information from him once he links on with us here on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. Thank you for joining me on this bonus edition of the podcast, getting set for the race weekend this weekend in the Pocono Mountains, and of course the Xfinity Series, let's not forget, at Iowa Speedway Round 2, where last time we were there, Christopher Bell won the race there, and of course Christopher Bell domination, and once again 186 laps led at New Hampshire, and he's going to look to sweep the races this year over there at Newton, Iowa. But yes, real quick here, you know I do not like to talk about this, but this has been on my mind for quite some time here, that it's at least up here in the Midwest, these teams, I don't know what it is, the punishment does not fit the crime up here. I'm talking about Puka Williams and Tyreek Hill, respectively, Kansas Jayhawks and the Kansas City Chiefs. And when you look at it, really, basically here, domestic violence, yeah, I'm not going to dig deep too much right now, but it's been bothering me since those results or suspensions came out, really, or the lack of suspensions came out, and these institutions / organizations dropped the ball. Now, as you remember, a couple of weeks ago, or a couple of months ago, really, at least here in Manhattan, Kansas, new head coach Chris Kleiman, and wide receiver, or supposed to be wide receiver, transfer, one of the more talented, supposedly, Hunter Ryerson, got himself in trouble with the law, and therefore Chris Kleiman and K-State kicked him out, suspended him, let the legal system do its thing, and they didn't let him back on the team. Here, in this instance, you flip the coin to Puka Williams and Tyreek Hill. Well, Puka Williams, he only got one He only got one game suspension out of all of that. And then Tyreek Hill, this is still going to bother me for a while. I mean, Tyreek Hill's had chance after chance. And I know, yes, I'm not a Chiefs fan. As you guys know that by now, obviously. This is a universal thing. And I don't care if you're a Falcon fan, Michigan fan, whatever, Detroit Lion fan, Bucks fan, you get the drift here. I mean, we live in a society now where we as gentlemen do some stupid stuff. Yeah, we do stupid stuff right now, time of 10, but there's a line, and I just don't understand the results here. Roger Goodell blew it on this one as well. Tyreek Hill got a second chance. Even this dude got a second chance, and yet there's no suspension out of this. If you flip it to NASCAR standards here, this wouldn't be allowed. I hope not, actually, because the driver sponsors are linked to you, and you do something bad, the sponsors ain't gonna have any of it. They're gonna boot you out to the curb, and you're gonna be out looking for a ride. So NFL, they missed the boat on this one with Tyreek Hill. He had a second chance. And, I mean, yeah, there's the reports out there. I'm not going to dive into them right now or anything like that. But I just want to get that out there that, hey, you know, EG3 says that they missed the boat. And Puka Williams also got in trouble with the law with the whole domestic violence issue. And he only got let off of one game suspension. I don't understand. And then meanwhile, Chris Kleiman here in town, here in Manhattan, Kansas, K-State, for those of you who don't know, it's the college town here, boots Hunter Ryerson and basically kicks him off the team, while those guys, Dodger Bullet, especially Tyreek Hill, for whatever the situation was there. Again, I know more details, but I'm obviously not going to dive into that. This is a NASCAR podcast. Just wanted to get that out there. That was what I want to talk about in the post-race that I did not get in. So yeah, definitely there's a too much inconsistency going on with sports, and then getting in trouble off the field. There's just not, there's no place for it. And Roger Goodell, he needs to tighten up. They missed the boat on this one. He missed the boat. And KU, I don't know what they're thinking on this instance here. Maybe because they need good players to play. Yes, Puka Williams, by Big 12 standards, is one of the better running backs in the country, in the conference. But yet again, they missed the boat on that issue. A chance to make a statement to everybody else. Hey, we're not going to put up with this, but instead, we're going to slap you on the wrist and say, hey, we're going to let you go with that. That hasn't set well with me, and I'm calling NFL out on that, and KU on that note as well. I don't care. You're a 1-10 team, 5-7 team, undefeated team, 11-2, whatever the hell your record is at this point. Baseball, NASCAR, basketball, whatever sport you're playing, this kind of act it should not be allowed. If you do cross that line, you should be kicked off the team. There's no second chance for that. Instead, we got some teams out here giving second chances and whatnot, and that doesn't sit well with me. And no, it doesn't have a fact that I'm a Falcons fan. But again, this is universal. This is everywhere. All sports should not be allowed. We're going to take a timeout. We got Zach ready on the line. 3Y NASCAR Podcast. We'll be back on the racetrack next.
This is a quick pit stop. The 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3 will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
What's going on? Not too bad. Hey, I got a break right now, and we'll put you on here in a minute or so. All right. the Three Wide NASCAR Podcast, back on the racetrack. We're all about the latest in the world of NASCAR. EG3 for the Three Wide NASCAR Podcast, back with you guys here tonight on basically this preview edition of the podcast, where the last few weeks I've been interviewing drivers, young drivers, up-and-coming drivers that you haven't heard of before, and giving them the insights tonight. Or I should say, this week is a little bit different. We have our special guests on the line, returning from last year and getting ready for the Pocono weekend, is our friend Zach. Zach, my man, what's going on?
Not too much, Eddie. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Recovering a little bit from getting sick from over the weekend, so I'm doing all right, hanging in there.
Glad you're doing better, man.
Yeah, thanks. And you sound exhausted already. I know it's Tuesday night, but you recently got a new gig at Front Stretch. Tell us about that.
That's right. So Tom Bowles over at Front Stretch owns the website. Let me know of an opportunity over there, and started up as an assistant editor for the website. Really awesome to be able to join a site that's covering motorsports full time. It's great. I love doing what I'm doing with Pocono Record. That's still my main focus right now. But to join a website like Front Stretch that continues to grow and really dedicate some time and it's all its focus and energy on motorsports, to be a part of that is just a really great experience.
Man, that sounds exciting. That sounds really exciting, and excited for you to continue your journey in the motorsports industry. So that's awesome news to hear from you. For the new listeners that have joined the podcast, just Zach, summarize for us how you gotten to Front Stretch to this point.
So I came out of high school in 2012 and really wanted to get involved in sports journalism in some way or fashion. NASCAR was always my passion, really, and was fortunate enough to start freelancing for the Pocono Record, my hometown paper, really just a couple months out of high school. Freelanced for about a year and a half, was able to get some NASCAR assignments along the way, and then went... got a part-time gig in 2014 with the Record and went full-time later that year. And I've been covering race weekends ever since. I think the first race weekend I got credentials for was the June race of 2014. And I've been in that media center at Pocono Raceway for every NASCAR race since. So it's really kind of surreal to be able to... be in that garage area, be in the media center for these race weekends. Was able to add Dover to my list earlier this year, and hoping to get back there in October for the playoff race there as well. The main focus when NASCAR isn't here remains high school sports and some Division II college sports with East Stroudsburg University, which actually sponsored Greg Galding in the Xfinity Series race back in June. But outside of that, really enjoy every bit of NASCAR coverage I'm able to provide.
You're listening to the Three Wide NASCAR Podcast here, chatting with our special guest this evening, Zach from Front Stretch / Pocono Record. Now, all right, so before we talk Pocono, I'm going to go back to this past weekend, New Hampshire, and of course, the cup race with Harvick getting his first win of the year, holding off Denny Hamlin there at New Hampshire over the weekend, last weekend there. What were your thoughts of the race there?
I was really entertained with that race, and I can't say that often about races at New Hampshire, frankly. I thought it was pretty good from start to finish. It looked like there was action almost everywhere you looked on the racetrack, whether it was guys trying to get through lap traffic, guys trying to work their way through the field. Obviously, they had so many guys in backup cars because of really a weird weekend as far as practice goes. We had so many different guys crashing in practice. To see Ryan Newman work his way through the field multiple times, to see Denny Hamlin work his way through the field to put himself in contention for that win late And then we get a second great finish in a row where there's contact involved, and the benefit this time was that there was no quote-unquote artificial overtime finish to it. It was the Hamlin just happened to catch him at the right time to make it interesting on that final lap. But I was entertained from start to finish on Sunday at New Hampshire.
Yeah, definitely an intriguing race there for sure from the Foxwood Resorts Casino 301, which Kevin Harvick won his first race, and we're past halfway towards the postseason charge here. And if you would have told me that, all right, this is all the success from Stuart Haas Racing last year, you would have told me at the beginning of the year that Stuart Haas Racing would get its first win at New Hampshire last weekend, I would have told you you're crazy. But Kevin Harvick, I mean, this has been the story of since he's been with Stuart Haas Racing. Fast cars, especially this year, he's been his usual self, but his team, they just haven't got the brakes, and Rodney Childers made a huge call there to have Harvick stay out, and Harvick basically took care of the rest there. And now I'm just looking at, now is this the turning point where Harvick can get some more wins and get more playoff points as we get closer to the postseason?
Well, I think it's a great question, and the answer, in my opinion, is yes. This is what kind of, at least, is the catalyst for the company. Certainly, I expect Harvick to be in contention a little bit more often. It's funny because I said the same thing, that, you know, I was shocked that we had gotten to mid-July and Stuart Haas, let alone Harvick, hadn't won yet. So at this point in the season, I being that he gets the win now, I think things are going to turn around. I think through this first half of the season, he's been more of a fourth to seventh place car instead of a first to fifth place car, which is what really the standard has been for that team since he joined SHR in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think part of it at least seems like it's been a struggle for them to figure out this package, whereas Clint Boyer, on the other hand, has been in contention, it seems like, more recently or more consistently leading races lately. I didn't see that coming. So I think this really turns their season around for SHR, and I know Harvick is probably eager to get to Pocono try to check that off his win list, because it's only one of three tracks that he hasn't won at yet.
Yeah, that's actually a perfect segue into my next question. A little bit with Pocono is Kevin Harvick and his, you could say, his dominance there without a win over there. You mentioned it, only three tracks. Pocono is one of those tracks that he's not won. He's had fast cars there. He just hasn't gotten a deal done. I'll be interested to see how he comes off this win from New Hampshire and how he does at Pocono on this weekend. And speaking of Clint Boyer, you know, after his good run at Kentucky, other than that, it's been a bad luck stretch for Clint Boyer. Now, Boyer, last time I checked, well, he was 17 from Jimmy Johnson, the last guy in, the playoff pitcher, if the playoffs were to start today. Can Clint Boyer and his 14 team ride the ship here with just a handful of races left?
It's going to be tough, that's for sure. Eric Jones and Ryan Newman, I think, are just above him. So you look at the guys behind him, I think you got Jimmy Johnson there and Daniel Suarez, both 17 points out. It's hard to say. First of all, Jimmy Johnson being outside of the playoff picture in late July is kind of insane in itself.
Yeah.
It's tough because I don't know if either Johnson or Suarez are running well enough, regularly enough, to really bump Boyer out of this 16th spot. I don't think Boyer's running better by any means than Newman or Jones have been lately. He's really been free-falling, but I don't think the guys behind him have been doing well enough to really bump him out. So it's going to be very interesting over these next 6 weeks to see what that 14 team is capable of, and whether they can finish a race or not, because I think that's been their biggest problem lately.
Yeah, you listen to 3Y NASCAR podcast. He was EG3 talking New Hampshire / Pocono with Zach. Zach. Boyer, they've had more competitive cars. I probably said they've been a lot more, a tad faster than Harvick, but their issue is they haven't been able to stick around for the finishes. And of course, he and Truex got into it late stage two, which kind of ruined, well, shouldn't say kind of, which ruined Boyer's afternoon there. And yeah, Jimmy Johnson, Suarez sitting 17 out, Paul Menard and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. He and Eric Jones got into it on the racetrack. Stenhouse is falling further and further from the cutoff line. So yeah, I mean, those guys, Menard 19th right now. Yeah, those guys aren't running well enough right now. And Ryan Newman, that sixth car for Roush Fenway Racing, he is getting every ounce of that race car what it needs right now. And Ricky Stenhouse Jr., he was hot earlier in the year, but he seems to be fading here as we approach fall. Ryan Newman is peaking at the right time.
Absolutely. Ryan Newman, I actually, so I also have a NASCAR podcast side by side on ESPN, Poconos.com, and we had him on last week and talking about his season so far, and he is just so consistent in everything that he does, and like you said, he's gotten every single ounce of performance out of that car as he can get, and I think as the season goes on, he gets more comfortable, and I think that's a perfect situation for that entire team because he knows what he wants out of the car. He's not satisfied until it gets to where they're regularly contending to win races. I don't know if that's around the corner by any means, but I mean, he's consistently finishing inside the top 15. I don't think he's finished outside the top 25 once this season, if I'm not mistaken. I'm very impressed with everything that Newman has done this year. I did not expect him to, I don't know, be as competitive as he was, and this was a huge weekend for him. You lose a cylinder mid-race.
Yeah.
Usually that's a death sentence, and you're not coming back from that. And They got lucky with, I forget exactly which caution it was that they were able to fix the issue, but as soon as they fix it, he's able to charge his way back through the field and ends up seventh. I mean, it's really remarkable what that team has done and what he's done behind the wheel. And I think he's proving his worth now, maybe more than ever, because I don't remember, outside of maybe that 2014 playoff run when he was ridiculously consistent and finished second there to Harvick,
uh-huh.
I don't remember a time within the last decade that Newman was this consistently impressive.
Yeah, I'm right there with you on that. I did not see this coming, to be honest. The sixth car, yeah, Matt Kenseth, well, it probably started late last year, Matt Kenseth jumping that ride in the beginning. That team was just out to lunch with the race setups and everything else, but after the year went on, the sixth team with Kenseth became more competitive, and now you stick another veteran driver in Newman, and all of a sudden, he's clicking off top tens after top ten. And yeah, I thought Ryan Newman was finished. That was critical. A huge turning point. Maybe, I might be speaking out of term here. I know there's six races left, but this right here, if Newman gets in on points, you can circle this one, this race at New Hampshire, the way that team figured out a way to dodge this lost cylinder and able to finish seven was amazing. Before I switch gears to Pocono, I want to talk about Matt DiBenedetto for a second here. Matt DiBenedetto, obviously, has been in the news a lot lately, actually. A strong weekend from him, fast in qualifying, fast throughout the practices, and he finishes in the top five once again. What are your thoughts on DiBenedetto, this 95 team? It seems to me like they found some speed on short tracks and on the road course, especially out there in Sonoma a few weeks ago, and they're looking to fine-tune it a little bit on these longer courses.
I would agree with that very much. I was ridiculously impressed with everything that team did this weekend. They were consistent all the way through. Like you said, qualified well. They qualified seventh. And then throughout the race, he was probably about a 7th to 12th place car. And then on that late restart with what I guess it was like 30 or so to go, he capitalizes on his track position and works his way into the top five. And that was all legitimate. There was no strategy play there. There was nothing that he lucked into. That was the speed and the exactly where in the field that car should have been running. And he made sure he got everything out of it. I was very, very impressed with that team. Now, if they can keep that going, is the question. And to your point, The longer tracks have been kind of an Achilles heel for that team. Obviously, there was a lot of bad luck all around on every track the first half of the season for that team. But these next two races, particularly at Pocono, or I'm sorry, two of these next three, I should say, Pocono and Michigan, I think those are going to be really telling races. I think those are actually the next two. I know Watkins Glen is coming up here as well. I don't know off the top of my head whether or not that's before or after Michigan. But regardless, Pocono and Michigan being 2+ mile racetracks, I think those are really going to be the telling of where that team is.
Yeah, we'll see, that's for sure. Yeah, and kind of to your point with the schedule here, as we got it pulled up here on the TV screen, yeah, Watkins Glen is next, following after this weekend, then Michigan follows after that, Bristol, which the 95 team could be a factor in that, and of course Southern 500 and in Indy the rest of the regular season there. So yeah, 95, intriguing story moving forward, and I'm definitely going to be keeping an eye on this team, especially the next 2 weeks, just in the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3. Alright, so Pocono. Alright, so the last time we were there, Kyle Busch won. He was not very happy with the package. So, and speaking of package, I'm going to get confirmation from you. Were you the one that asked Kyle Busch that question?
That would be me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. How did you feel about the response that Kyle Busch gave you a month or so ago?
So for those who didn't see it, long story short, I asked Kyle on a scale of 1 to 10 what he thought of the package that day. I was not necessarily a huge fan of the question myself, but I had asked it to two other drivers on pit road. One was Joey Logano, who shook it off and declined to answer, and the other was Eric Jones, who gave me a 3 out of 10 and went into an explanation on it. I decided for consistency I should ask Kyle, since he had won it as well, and he had obviously been very outspoken about his feelings about the package. He had just finished answering a question in which he touched on some of those, just how difficult it was to pass, and he was tired of it. He's been, and I don't blame him at all. To answer your question, I was, I laughed it off really when it happened. I was like, okay, handed the mic off to the microphone runner, and I didn't really think much of it. I, of course, forget that these press conferences are being live streamed on Facebook and Twitter. And so all of a sudden, after the press conference, I look on social media and it is blowing up. I didn't take anything personally. And even reporters in the media center said I shouldn't. I get it, because realistically, if I'm writing from a national perspective, I'm probably not asking that question, I should say, because I know what his opinions on the package are already. But trying to write from a local perspective, from the Pocono perspective, I'm curious what he thinks on at Pocono specifically. So that's where the question really stemmed from. I don't blame him at all that he wasn't, very fond of the question. So I'm hoping we're all good as we head into this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, hey, that's good that you laughed that off. Yeah, so, but Now, the trucks. Just kind of switching gears over to the trucks. The trucks will be racing on Saturday with the game, with the 150 on Saturday and the Cup Series on Sunday. I'm going to talk trucks for just a few moments here. All right, so the last time the trucks were on a racetrack, we're going a couple weeks ago, Kentucky, where that was just a crazy race. A lot of plot twists, and of course, you got activity on track. And not only that, you got action off the track with Natalie Decker and then Ben Rhodes after the race. Things are heating up, and when you take a look at the Truck Series playoffs, as we got on our screen now, Moffitt, Sauter, Hill, Chastain, and Tyler Akram off his big win, first career Gainer Outdoor Truck Series win in the postseason. And you have three spots left. Grant Evinger is your regular season points leader right now. Harder yet to think that he has not won a race yet. Considering, from my point of view, he's had the best trucks in the. Yes, Ross Chastain's been fast, but I think, in my opinion, Grant Evinger has been having faster trucks, but hasn't been able to capitalize on them due to situations. And then Stuart Friesen and Matt Crafton there. And we got some big names outside the plot picture here. Harrison Burton, Ty Gillen, speaking of Kyle Busch, both his trucks are not in plot contention right now. And Ben Rhodes. So what is your outlook going into Pocono with the trucks?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned Grant Enfinger was still without a race win at this point in the season, though he's leading the points. I'm actually more surprised that, I guess not surprised because I've seen most of these races, but Friesen not getting a win yet. He's had the faster trucks, in my opinion. He's been in contention to win probably two or three at least at this point, and for him to still be winless, I think that to me is more surprising than the zero in Enfinger's W column there. So it's very interesting, especially being that the 18 and the 4 are sitting outside the playoff picture right now. I expect that to change, but I'm not really sure when or how because I don't. I think Matt Crafton is the guy at this point who's most likely to fall out of that playoff, that last playoff spot, just based on points. But man, I don't know. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens here as we near these playoffs. Harrison Burton is also very interesting to me because I think in his he's made two Xfinity Series starts. I've been more impressed with those Xfinity starts than I have been his whole Truck Series season.
Yeah,
he's been very good in those races in the 18 car and Xfinity Series, including this past weekend at New Hampshire. But for whatever reason, the Truck Series success hasn't been there. So it's going to be very interesting getting into this weekend's race Saturday. I believe that's a 1 p.m. start on Fox, and it's going to be fun to watch what that whole race looks like. Especially that's going to be our first true test. I know we're going to have the ARCA race on Friday, but we're going to see what the trucks are able to do with that PJ1 on the track as well. And Burton, let's not forget, did get an ARCA win at Pocono last year.
You're listening to 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3 here with Zach from the Pocono Record / Front Stretch. Just got a few more minutes with him on this edition of the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. Real quick on Stuart Friesen. Yeah, that's another guy I can't figure out. He's right up there. He's had fast trucks really since last year, and he hasn't been able to capitalize is beyond me. So yeah, Stuart Friesen and that 52 team need to find a way to close out races. And yeah, Harrison Burton, we're keeping an eye on him this weekend. Yeah, you know, his starts in the Xfinity have been really good compared to his truck season to this point. So yeah, that's been kind of odd as well. And Zach, you mentioned PJ1. That was my next question on my list here. I've been following you, always been following you for over a year now, and you've been posting about the PJ1 on Pocono, and I've been hearing different opinions here and there. So what are your thoughts going into this weekend about that PJ1? Will it be a difference heading into this weekend with the ARCA race? With all three races, actually.
Yeah, with all three. So I'm very interested in what we see. I don't really have an idea of what to expect, and I kind of like it that way. I think we get our best races a lot of times when we don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
And talking with a few drivers through some teleconferences, I know Alex Bowman expects things to be drastically different from what they were in June. Denny Hamlin was a very big advocate of this back in May and in June. He made some comments about that. And Joe Logano expects it to change a lot of things as well. So it really depends on, I really guess, how comfortable guys are feeling and how brave guys are feeling through Saturday's practice as well. It's an abbreviated schedule. I think that might play a factor into how chaotic Sunday may or may not be, because there is no on-track action on Friday. It's all practice on Saturday and qualifying after the truck race. And, of course, Sunday's big race. So it's going to be very interesting. They set it up in the third lane in turn one, the second lane in turn two, and the third lane in turn three. We got a kind of a taste of this. I guess it was about 10 years ago. There was that grip strip in turn three where they had that one particular spot in turn three where they had to repave, and all the guys were kind of fighting for that one spot.
Oh, I remember
where,
that. Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah, yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see if it's anything like that.
That's going to be interesting for sure. Everybody fighting for that grip up there, and we'll see. Definitely going to be intriguing to see going into all the races this weekend over there, up there, how the cars, how the drivers, how the crew chiefs are going to play this thing out. So the PJ1 making another appearance at Pocono this weekend. And Zach, give us the ones to watch this weekend at Pocono. I know last time we were there less than a month or so ago, we already talked about Kyle Busch earlier. Eric Jones had a good run. Kyle Larson won both stages until he hit the wall late in the race. Boyer had a decent run late. So what are your ones to watch going into this weekend's event?
Well, Kyle Busch certainly has to be on everyone's radar. He's won two of the last three races at Pocono, including, he won last August, he won in June, and he also won in, I believe it was August of 17, so I guess he's won three of the last four at Pocono now. So it's going to be interesting to see what that team does, but You mentioned the other guy who comes to mind is Eric Jones. I know first of all, he's been running well lately, which always helps. He's gotten two third place finishes in a row, and I think he's finished top eight in five of the last seven races. So momentum seems to be on his side. He finished third at Pocono as well back in June. He's always ran well since his rookie year. I believe he got a top five in his first or second start at the racetrack. So I would not be surprised to see that 20 car in contention this time around. He was in contention last year on that final restart alongside Suarez and Kyle Busch as well. So if they can find a way to keep that momentum up, I would not be surprised to see that 20 car possibly in victory lane.
Yeah, you are reading my mind. We're on the same page. I think Eric Jones, the momentum that he's built throughout the summer so far, and his early success at this particular racetrack here, I just got a feeling this weekend that 20 car could end up in victory lane on Sunday. Time will tell for sure, but Eric Jones, he's up there. And of course, not to mention, of course, those guys around the cut line and a strategy to try to get stage points in one and two. That's something I'm going to be keeping an eye on as well. Predictable, that's what I want to say. Those guys who are not cut line need points to set themselves up. Strategy always intriguing at Pocono.
Absolutely. And I think another guy you have to look at is going to be William Byron. He seems to be getting better and better at this place. He got a Truck Series win here a couple of years ago, so I wouldn't be surprised to see that 24 car also do well. And he's another one who we saw at Sonoma really worked the stage point game perfectly. He won one stage. I think he finished second in the other stage. Finishes 19th and still gets the fifth most points that day at Sonoma. I would not be surprised to see someone like Tech now go ahead and try to employ that same or a similar strategy here at Pocono.
Yeah, that 24 team has done a nice job this year in getting stage points when they needed the most there. And William Byron, Zach, yeah, that's another driver that guys should keep an eye on for this weekend. All right, Zach, before I let you go real quick, tell everyone where they can find you on social media and tell us more about the podcast that you're doing.
Sure. So for everyone who wants to keep track of what really all everything I'm tweeting out and writing, all that fun stuff, you can follow me on Twitter at Zachster, Z-A-C-H-S-T-U-R. You can also find me on Facebook, at facebook.com/Zachstern. That's Z-A-C-H-S-T-U-R-N. PoconoRecord.com is where you can find all my written work. Lots of stuff coming up this week. Spoke with Kyle Belmont, who is the interior mechanic for Ryan Blaney's car. I'll have a story later this week about him and kind of his local connection to the racetrack. He and his father, Andy Belmont, who's made plenty of ARCA starts over the last couple decades, grew up not too far away in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, so they really considered Pocono their home track, so I've got a story coming out on that. Ross Chastain, I'm going to have a feature on him Friday night heading into Saturday's Truck Series race, and of course some previews to come as well. Like you mentioned, I also have the Side-by-Side podcast on ESPNPoconos.com. You can follow that there. So I co-host that with John Sabatino, and last couple weeks we actually had Ryan Newman and Matt DiBenedetto on. We had Corey LaJoy on earlier this year as well. You can check that out there at ESPNPoconos.com. I think that's about everything I've got to plug.
All right, sounds good. Well, Zach, throughout your busy schedule here, thank you for cutting out some time for me once again, the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. Have fun this weekend, and will you be available? I know I'm putting on the spot again, but will you be available next week? I know we'll probably talk a little bit more about it, but
we certainly will. There's a chance. There's certainly a chance. We'll talk. We'll figure out times, and we'll see if we can make it work. All right.
Sounds good. Appreciate your time, and looking forward to the races this weekend. Appreciate
Thanks
it.
Thanks so much for having me back on here, Eddie. Really appreciate it, and we'll definitely talk soon.
Sounds good. Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3 to close it out. Eddie Gritter, third heel of the guys for a couple more minutes there. That was Zach from the Front Stretch / Pocono Record joining us, and thank him for taking some time from his super, super busy schedule to join us here tonight on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. Big D says this will be up on Friday, no activity. You just heard our conversation. There are no track activity on Friday. And of course, all the action will be happening going down at Pocono on Saturday and Sunday. Again, left out in the mix was the Xfinity Series, which will be out in Iowa. So again, Gainer Outdoors, Gainer RV 150 on Fox, MRN doing double duty there. With that, the Xfinity Series, that later on that same day, July 27th, this Saturday, 4 o'clock Central Time, U.S. Cellular 250 on NBC, SN, MRN doing all the races. I thought PRN was going to do the Xfinity Series race, but that's not going to happen. MRN doing all the races, and of course, the big show, the main event, the Gainer Outdoor, I keep saying that, Gainer RV 400 2 o'clock local time, 3 o'clock Eastern time on NBCSN MRN. Has the coverage right there. So, Big D, yeah, man. Folks, it's going to be interesting weekend. Pocono, PJ1 on the track. It's going to be interesting to see if the racing has improved from the last time we were there. The Xfinity Series, that was a good race there without the PJ1, obviously, with the finish of Cole Custer and Tyler Reddick doing it out. And then the Cup race was not that exciting. So the track made an adjustment, and they've been working on this for quite a while now, putting down that PJ1 down, and we'll see if the action will be better than the last time out. Big D, thanks for what you're doing. Let's break this thing down. Ladies and gentlemen, it's another wrap for the EG33Y NASCAR podcast. EG3. Big thanks to Zach for joining us, and he might be back to talk Pocono, post-Pocono, on the post-race reaction. That is still in the works, so you just heard it right here first on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast, ladies and gentlemen, so stay tuned to that. Again, you can find the 3Wide NASCAR podcast wherever you download your podcast. Again, please, I'm telling you, please leave us a 5-star rating. Download the 3Wide NASCAR podcast to the latest sports podcast or wherever you get your podcast. So there's that as well. So buckle up, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to Pocono, not literally, to see who comes out on top. And of course, let's not forget about the ones out in Newton, Iowa, as Christopher Bell looks for the season sweep at Iowa, while Kyle Busch looking to go double, or will somebody else come in and bring the party down at Pocono? We'll talk to you next week on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. We out.
Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. We'll see you next time going 3 Wide.